Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's just go to the Lord one more time in prayer. We have our deacon.
Let us continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I continue to lift up our brother Paul. We just thank you this morning, Lord, for the wonderful and mighty and powerful God that you are, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you for your great grace and your mercy, Lord, that although you are a mighty and powerful God, Lord, capable of everything, that you would love us and care for each and every one of us, Lord, in this room, so that you would send your Son, your only Son, to bear the burden of our sins, Lord. Thankful for Jesus this morning, Lord. Lord, continue to bless the remainder of our time here in this service. I lift up Brother Cal as he brings forward the message, Lord. Bless our time together. We ask it in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Isn't that amazing? I was praying, you never know what's going to happen next. You never know. And I want to tell you what, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, don't leave here today without Him. You're going to hear in a little while exactly how to do that. But I'm not saying Paul's headed out to heaven yet, but this happens from time to time in his life. He'll fall out and just some health issues that he's got. So I'm praying that he'll be okay. This has happened on a Wednesday night before and happened another Sunday night one time. And anyways, this is something that's that he has to deal with from time to time. But I want to tell you, everybody's got their stuff to deal with, right? Now, let me just make a quick announcement before Brother Mike's going to give us what we really need to hear. But I want to tell you, how many of you know the couple from Crossville? Most of y'all need to really get around and meet some folks. They're here. They sit right back here when they're here from Crossville. And they want to be baptized in the river. And so September the 10th, we're going to baptize them in the river. I'm going to get September the 10th. That's not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. And I'm going to take care of all those logistical issues and that kind of thing. But if you'd like to be baptized that Sunday, let me know. We'll baptize 100 down at the river if we need to. And some of y'all here today, you need to be baptized biblically the way the Scriptures teach. And so we can get that taken care of. And it'll be a load off your mind and a weight off your shoulder. So see me after the service, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. We're in Galatians chapter 2 this morning. And we've been talking about getting set free from a lot of issues this year. We've been talking about getting how to get, you know, early on in the year we talked about how to get free from sin, and we talked about getting free from bondage, a lot of different issues, fear and stress and anger and anxiety and legalism and all kinds of issues. And then for the, we talked about the freedom that's been given to us in order that we might be able to give. We talked about the freedom of giving. And this week before last, we dove into this sermon, this three-part sermon series on being set free to live. And as I move through life, especially here in Clarksville, there are so many folks that need to be set free so that they can live the life that God wants them to have. And so I want to use for a subject this morning the freedom of living by faith. Faith, the freedom of living by faith. Now, let me read one scripture to you. This is my life's verse. How many of you have a life's verse? How many of you would like to know what I mean by having a life's verse? All right, well, there's a verse in the Bible that God led me to many, many years ago, and I've tried to live my life by this verse. It's Galatians 2:20. Let's all stand as we honor the Word of God today. Galatians 2:20. This is a fabulous, fabulous verse, and it's going to be a blessing for us today. I have been crucified with Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, bless the Word today. As we look at this great big issue of faith, set us free, God, and help us to begin living by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Back in 94, Diana and my family moved to Louisville, Kentucky. I wanted to get some more education and training for ministry, and so we went to moved to Louisville, Kentucky to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I had people telling me, we don't need to go there, we do need to go there, blah, 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 blah. But anyways, my very first class in seminary was with 19 other guys. Most of them were I was in my mid-30s already. And most of the other guys were in their mid-20s. And so I'm about 10, 11 years older than most of these brothers. But my first class was called Formations. Formations. And over that semester, we were led by a young preacher, PhD student, by the name of Kevin Ham. And if you're ever going to Florida or going south on 65, as you're going through Gardendale, Alabama, look on your left. There's a huge church as you enter into Gardendale, First Baptist Gardendale. Well, that's where Dr. Kevin Ham preaches. And he was my formations professor. But there was 19 of us, and he wanted us to really get to trust one another and to get to know one another and that kind of thing. So one afternoon, he took us over to this park in the middle of Louisville and had a lot of, it was kind of like an obstacle course. And in the middle of this obstacle course, there was a tall platform about 7 feet tall and enough for about 6 or 8 people to stand on top of it, and had a ladder going up to the top of it. But he told one person to get up on the platform and to face this direction and line up about 10 people in 2 lines, 5 in each line, and they were to interlock their hands and their wrists. Okay, have you got that picture in your mind? So there's one guy standing up here on the platform. He's facing this way, and the other 10 guys are on the ground with their hands and wrist interlocked like this. And what the guy on the platform was supposed to do was get on the edge of the platform and do like this and fall back. They call that trust fall. And what Professor Ham was trying to get us to do was to trust, to place our faith in our theological seminary buddies, okay? And I didn't think a whole lot of it until I got up on top of that platform. And remember, these young pups were about 12 years younger than I was. But I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to die right here in my first class at seminary. And so I did this, and I fell back. You know what? Those rascals caught me. And so I exercised my faith in them to save me from this fall. And in a lot of ways, brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a lot like that. Our Christian life begins in faith, and it's sustained by faith, and it ends even in faith. And not just faith in faith, but faith in Christ and Christ alone. And so I want to talk to you about this life that we're in, this life that begins and is sustained and ends in faith. Look at your neighbor and say, we're talking about faith. You know, since we got the new chairs in, the crowds have come down. I guess everybody wants to sleep at home instead of up in here, right? Anyways, this life that we're talking about begins with a death. It begins with a death. Verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. When I say the word crucifixion, what do you think of? Death. That's right. Crucifixion was a horrible form of death back in the day. And who was crucified that we know of? Jesus was. Well, in a real sense, when you became a believer, you were crucified with Him. When did that happen? 2,000 years ago. You died with Him. And now that you're a believer, the old you is dead and gone. Hallelujah. I mean, you're not the same person now. You died with Him. I was crucified with Christ. And the old you is dead. But let me put it like this. Everything that's happened to Jesus has happened to that believer. You died with Him first and foremost. You died. Where'd you get this, Pastor? Romans 6:4 says we were buried with Him by baptism into death. My old self, my old death is gone. And now my life, my old life is dead to sin. My old ears are dead to sin. My old eyes are dead to sin. My old heart is dead. My old tongue is dead to sin. We had died, brothers and sisters. We were crucified with Christ. That's a beautiful picture of what takes place in baptism. When we baptize folks, we bury them. That's a watery grave over here. And it symbolizes the death that takes place. And when you came to faith in Christ, you so identified in Him that you died with Him 2,000 years ago, and the old you today is dead. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Now, some of you may have read this story a few years ago. This really happened down in Ecuador. There were some missionaries, and man, Ecuador's tough on missionaries. But one of our missionaries was kidnapped one day by one of the drug lords. And he hauled him away from the missionary compost and put a gun to his head. He said, this drug lord told the missionary, he said, don't you know I can kill you anytime I want to? You're mine. And I can kill you right now if I want to. And the missionary looked at him and said, no, you can't. I'm already dead. And that drug lord said, oh, my goodness, you're crazy. What do you mean you're already dead? He said, yeah, I'm dead. I was crucified with Christ. You can't take my life because I'm already dead. And you know what? The drug lord just walked away thinking, oh my goodness, this cat's crazy. And left him alone. My friend, if you're a believer, you have died. The old you is dead, buried, and gone. Somebody shout hallelujah. The old you wasn't that good anyways. Amen. All right, the old you was prepared. By the way, I hadn't preached on hell lately, but hell is not heaven is not our default destination. Hell is. You don't have to do anything or change anything, and you'll split hell wide open. And so a death takes place. But this new life, when you come to faith in Christ, this life not only begins with a death, but it's blessed by resurrection. I said resurrection. And the Word of God says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You've been raised to a new life. You've got a brand new life. Hallelujah. When we got saved, died with Him, buried with Him, and Romans 6:4 says, that we were raised to newness of life. That's a beautiful picture over here in this baptistry. Preaches a great sermon. You're alive in Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you're saved, when you become a believer, somehow the Spirit of Almighty God, the Spirit of Jesus, comes to take up residence in our life and gives us brand spanking new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Tell somebody, I'm new. I'm new. You've got new life. You didn't get a fresh start, a new beginning, or turn over a new leaf. You've got a brand new life because Jesus is in here. His Spirit lives within you. And by the way, when He comes to take up residence in your life, He's the one that's in control. You gave up control. You weren't doing very good anyways. And so He's taking control of your life. He's the owner. We're just simply the manager. There's a new sheriff in town. Y'all got that? All right. And His name is Jesus. And He is alive and at large in our lives. And in this life, oh, it's so good. And, you know, what a lot of folks are trying to do today, I'll touch on that a little bit later. But this new life that He gives and brings is the resurrected life. And you've got the strongest force, the strongest power, the strongest spirit in the universe in you. Glory to God, you can do anything that He calls you to do. You can do amazing things. And this new life gives you peace and purpose and meaning. Glory to God. Jesus is with you. He is with you. And I think sometimes we walk around and we don't really understand. I've got the Spirit of Almighty God. You know what the average Baptist church needs? A good, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. He is alive and well. Now, I'm not saying you're not emotional. No, most of y'all are not as emotional as I am, and that's okay. God made all of us different. But I want to tell you, every now and when the Spirit of God touches your soul and he gives you what you've been looking for, and He gives your life purpose and meaning, you just got to somehow let out of you what's already inside of you. You got to shout, hallelujah! Glory to God! He is in us. I thank God for this new life, this resurrection. By the way, if your life isn't any different today than it was when you claimed to have got, you need to get a good dose of Jesus. Because He changes life. You can't be the same after you come to Jesus. He loves you too much to leave us that way. Amen? And so what a blessing. What a blessing. Now, having said that, this life begins with a death. It's blessed by a resurrection. And then this life is built on, with, and by faith. The life I now live in the flesh, Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, having said that, listen to this. When you get saved, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? Y'all with me so far? And Paul was dealing with this with the Galatians, and we're dealing with it today. What we want to do is we want to add something to salvation. It's Jesus plus this, Jesus plus communion, Jesus plus church attendance, Jesus plus tithing, Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus good works, Jesus plus the commandments, Jesus plus all this other stuff. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, salvation is Jesus and Jesus alone. If there was anything else that you needed for salvation, there was no need for Him to come. And it's faith in Him and Him alone. That's why Paul says there in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Brothers and sisters, we couldn't live up to the commandments. The commandments are a taskmaster. They show us how messed up we are, how we're all failures. We're all lawbreakers, the Bible says. There's none of us that have lived up to God's standards. But hallelujah, Jesus did. You see? Is it coming real for you today now? I mean, you can't keep the commandments. You've proven that. I've proven that. But Jesus is God's perfect 10. He kept all the commandments. He lived up to God's standards. And that's how he was able to go to the cross and pay for your salvation and mine. That's how he was able to step in. And because of that, there's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I'm not guilty because he paid for all my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. If that doesn't set you free, you need a good dose of salvation. Amen. Glory to God. He's taken care of everything. No condemnation. And so we've been set free by a death and a resurrection. And then we build this life of faith on faith in Him. Now let me unpack that. The Christian life is a life of faith. How many of you figured that out? Well, quit trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. You can't do it. Matter of fact, God said you never could. But once you get Jesus, He supplies that power, see? And He tells you what He wants done. And He tells you what to do. And then He gives you the resurrection power to do what He's wanting you to do, to accomplish what He wants done. And then when you obey Him, guess what? You get rewarded. Y'all didn't get it. Let me say it again. God has a plan and a purpose. And we walk by faith each and every day. And God uses His word. He uses circumstances. He uses situations. He uses principles of faith to show us what He wants done. And then when we obey, He gives us the power to do what He wants done. And then all of that, His purpose gets accomplished. And guess what? One of these days when He stands before you, you're going to be rewarded for that. For giving Him honor and praise and glory. Give Him praise in the house. Hello, we're going back to last week's sermon. Give Him praise in the house. Hallelujah. God is so good. Man, He's good. And this life of faith is just amazing. And I want to tell you, there's no better way to live your life than by faith. Faith in Him. Diane, I remember when we had rented this 26-foot moving van, I think, back in 94, and we moved ourselves to Louisville. And I was driving this, and Wally Vinson, Scott Steinsaltz, and Sean Robertson were the moving folks. And Jeff Baggett. Yeah, I was in trouble. And so Stickman, yeah, the four were helping us load. And we got loaded up, and two of them went with us to help us unload when we got up to Louisville. And we got, Mike, I guess it was through Russellville, Kentucky, on the way to Bowling Green, and then Catch 65. And I'm driving there, and I'm by myself, and everybody else is in the other cars. You know what the old devil did? Well, you must be crazy. You don't know one single solitary person in Louisville. You and your wife don't have a job. You don't have a church home. Your kids don't have a school to go to. You must be crazy. You know how slick the devil is? And you know what else he told me? He said, you're going to be a failure and you're going to have to limp back home. I want to tell you, he's a liar. And we did what God called us to do for 3 years. And we met all kinds of people that loved us. We lived in the apartment seminary housing called the Gospel Ghetto. And it was the Gospel Ghetto. We lived upstairs in a 950-foot square foot apartment. The first night we were there, all of our appliances blew up. I mean, it was amazing. And God just kept testing our faith along the way. Diana wound up with a job at the seminary post office. I wound up with a job loading UPS tractor trailers, three of them, every night from 5 to 11. Then I had to come home and study at night. And I will tell you, it was. And then we took our first church up there, 55 miles outside of Louisville. And you know what? We couldn't have done that if we didn't place our faith in Christ and Christ alone. And He provided every step of the way. And because we placed our faith and trust in Him, here we are today. God is good. And so this life of faith is all about faith and living by faith in Him. There was a little sick girl in London, England, many years ago. And this mama took her daughter to the doctor. And the doctor examined her and told mama, he said, "Listen, your daughter's in tough shape, but a lot of it has to do with her diet, and you need to get a lot of fresh fruit in her diet." And she said, "Okay, I'll do that, doc." And they left. And a couple of days later, she's wondering, she said, "It's the dead of winter. Where am I going to find some fresh fruit?" And one day she's walking by the king's palace, the castle. And she looks over the fence, and there the king has a greenhouse. And it's filled up with vegetables and fruit. And she said, "Oh, if I could just buy some of that fruit for my daughter, I bet she'd get well." And so she goes over to the guard at the gate, and she tells the guard this story about her daughter. And unbelievably, the guard let her come in the gate and go over to the greenhouse. And she walks in the greenhouse, and the first thing she sees are these huge, plump, luscious grapes. And she said, "That's what my daughter needs. I'm just going to buy some of these grapes." And so she runs to the back of the greenhouse and grabs the gardener and tells the gardener her story. And she says, "I want to buy some of those grapes. Please let me buy some of those grapes." And about that time, the king's daughter was coming through the other end of the greenhouse, and she'd heard this conversation. And she walks up to this mom and she said, "Ma'am, I'm the king's daughter. And I want to tell you, those grapes are not for sale." She said, "My father is filthy rich. He doesn't need the money from those grapes. And by the way," she said, "if they were for sale, you're too poor to buy them." And she said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give those grapes to you as a gift. And if you receive the grapes as a gift, they're yours. You couldn't pay for them anyways." And that's the way it is, my brothers and sisters, with Jesus. Amen. You receive Him by faith, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we don't quote verse 10, but verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship," His poema, His work of art. "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." God has prepared all kinds of good works for us to do. Already they're out there, and you've got the power to accomplish what He wants done. And if you'll exercise those principles of faith, here's what God's wanting Second Mile Church to do this morning. This is what I believe with all my heart. He wants some of us to receive Christ by faith this morning. And He wants those that have to begin living by faith. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? I want to pray for us. I want to give us an opportunity to respond. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning, like we just talked about, and you're not sure about your salvation, if you would pray a prayer something like this right where you sit, God will save you right now. You just repeat this prayer in your heart. "Father, I'm a sinner, and I've lived my life for myself. And I've sinned against You, and I need Your forgiveness. And Father, I believe Your Son paid for my forgiveness with His life. Would You forgive me? I want to turn from myself, and I want to turn to Your Son as my only means of salvation. Thank You for saving me. I'm Yours, You're mine." If you prayed a simple prayer, something like that, You've been born again. That's what the Word of God says. If you, God's looking at your heart, and the words you say are not as important as your heart. But if you meant what you said this morning, God just saved you, and now you need to begin that new life. And it begins with baptism. And then there's some other things, and we have folks here that want to talk to you about that. We want to celebrate with you. But you need to get out of your seat in just a moment and come forward. And all you've got to say is, I prayed to receive Christ today. And the rest of us that are here, God's calling each one of you to do something by faith. I don't know what it is, but God does. And you need faith in Him to accomplish it, to do it. So I'm going to ask the rest of you to just step out and come to this altar of faith and ask God for the power to supply that power source that you've already got and to accomplish what it is that God's calling you to do. Lord, I've done the best I know how to do this morning. And it's nothing without your power. So I pray, God, that you would use today. Thank you that we have been crucified with Christ. Thank you, Lord, that it's no longer us who live, but it's Christ in us. We've got new life. In this life that we live in the flesh, we now live by faith. In the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. God, I can't do enough for you. And my brothers and my sisters need to do what you've called us to do. And so we ask all of these things. Give us the power to do what you know we need to do. In Christ's name, amen. Look right here at me. If you pray to receive Christ today, just get up out of your seat and come. We'll have some deacons and counselors to give you some things, to put some things that have talked with you, but you got to come. And then the rest of you, man, you know God's pulling on your heart, and He's got something for you to do, and you just need to come and ask God to show you exactly what it is, and He'll show you. He's waiting on your obedience. Just come and pray. Let's fill this altar with faith-filled prayers. Father, bless us now. In this time of response, in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Andrew.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.